With the many requests, I've had to redo the talks that we did on Tawheed quite a while ago. I'd like to begin that topic today, and we will look at the aspect of Tawheed which is the core of our existence as Muslims. Let's look first at the ayah of Suratul Anbiya. This is ayah 87 of surah number 21. And it's absolutely beautiful first. It's known as Ayatul Karima. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَظَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا وَظَنَّ عَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ اللَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا عَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Dhannun, or rather Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, when he went away in anger, so he thought that we, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking, we would not straighten him. So he called out amongst affliction, "There is no God but you, glory be to you. Surely I am one of those who has been unjust to myself." And this is talking about Prophet Yunus when he was in the belly of the whale. And he cries out. And it's actually the, if I can say, the embodiment of Tawheed. First of all, a little bit about this ayah, Ayatul Karima, which is La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. If you recite it 121 times after your Fajr Salah for 40 days, you will find you will be able to overcome an impossible to manage difficulty. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. If you have a particular need, a hajat, recite it 730 times after a 2-rakat Salah, preferably after midnight, and see the difference it makes. And for the removal of something that is really worrying you, recite 2 rakat salah and then 200 times in sijda after the salah, recite this ayah. You know, very often we as Muslims will say, well, we believe in one God, we're monotheists. But maybe we need to think about it and to examine our beliefs and see whether they do manifest them into our lives. You know, suppose you came upon someone who was sawing a tree and you asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Look, I'm really exhausted, I'm really tired, I'm getting on with my job, leave me alone." And if you told him, "Why don't you take a break to sharpen your saw? That's probably why it's exhausting you and you're not looking at what you're doing," and he'll probably say, "I'm just too busy." We've got to realize that our iman is based on something far deeper. It's not just lip service. There's a wonderful quote from Martin Luther King when he says, "I have so much to do today, I'll need to spend another hour on my knees." And maybe we too need to break away from everything we're doing sometimes and sit down and wonder, really, what do we believe? So I'm going to start right at the beginning. Let's look first at the word or the name Allah. And the very name, the moment you say Allah, it evokes the widest range of opinions and emotions. You know, many people who claim to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually rejecting a false definition of Tawheed. Because if they were presented with an accurate description, there might be really no argument. And I feel that we need to ask ourselves all the time, what is Tawheed? Why do I need it in my life? How do I apply it to my life? And really, how we answer these questions will define more than anything else who we are, how we lead our lives. And just as the well-being of a tree depends on the strength of its roots, the well-being of the human being depends on the strength of belief in what we call usul-e-deen, or the roots of religion. And the primary root is Tawheed, because that really draws nourishment from divine energy. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun," say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. And literally what he meant was living it will bring a revolution in our life here and in the hereafter, and we'll be able to reach our full potential. Any human definition of Allah, remember, is limited to the boundaries of human knowledge. But since Allah is a reality, he must be defined in his term and not ours. Now, he created the laws of logic and reason. Let me give you an example. No matter how sophisticated a machine may be, it can't tell us about the engineer that created it or about the vision and hidden forces that inspired him or her to create it. But we can look at the glory of the engineer by looking at the way the machines, looking at the potential of the machine. Let me go a little further. Why is it that when we talk about work or leisure, we have so many words? Yet when we're trying to talk about our inner feelings, we struggle for words. Should it not be easier to talk about what is our essence than external matters? And yet you will find the more stronger and closer the feeling, the fewer words we find. And this is because the human language is a limited tool to convey the meaning or the intensity of deep feelings. You find people use poetry or art or even just general silence. Have you ever looked at a beautiful painting? You felt its effect, but yet you don't know how to verbalize it. Sometimes you hear a recitation of Quran and Dua, and if somebody asks you, but why are you so mesmerized with it? You don't know what to say. And maybe the most classical example is when you see the Kaaba. It's an amazing, amazing experience. Those of you who have been, may Allah grant you the opportunity to go again and again. And those who haven't, may Allah grant you an opportunity to see it. There's an extraordinary sense of peace, and you can't describe that feeling. And similarly, we have insufficient tools to describe the reality of Tawheed. So let's start right at the basic. How do we know He exists? And I could go through many, many examples that I could give you. But it's the same way that you and I know our nafs exists, even though we are unable to touch it or define it. To begin to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand Tawheed, we must first learn to go beyond our minds, to go beyond the ego, beyond the tools of perception. You can't, if you're trying to capture Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your eyes, like Prophet Musa alayhi salam, remember when he asked on the mountain to be able to see him, it's like trying to capture the sun's rays in our hands. And the only way you can do this, and we start with Tawheed, is to remove the obstacles of self-centeredness or dishonesty, ignorance and fear from our lives. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu." One who has recognized himself has recognized his or her Rabb. Form a habit of thinking deeply. Go into the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ponder, think, and revolutionize your nafs. And I'd like to take you through a 7-step program, which may help to be able to focus on Tawheed. The first thing you've got to do is to face the truth. Challenge your beliefs right now. You know, the laws of Allah are like the law of gravity. They simply are there. You can't change them. You're never going to change them. You can bang yourself, your head against that wall of truth for as long as you like. The wall of truth will not change. Your head will break. And I suggest you take a pen and paper and challenge your beliefs by listing in order of significance the things that you have failed to acknowledge to yourself, and be brutally honest with yourselves. Sometimes we hide our problems and judge those who can't or don't hide theirs. The second step in this process is to recognize the difference between reality and our perception of reality. You know, it may sound really dumb, but we do have sometimes a completely distorted perception of what the truth is. And this is because most people fear rejection, and that is why they try to adapt to a perception that is not the truth, or it may be a need of being accepted. And somewhere inside, everybody asks, what is in there for me? And we try to wear a social mask. Well, look at the differences. The third thing is that accept that you are accountable for yourself. And if you do not, you will misdiagnose your problems. Nobody is a victim. You know, this is real life. This is not theory. This is not a trial. You and I get one chance. We choose our behaviors, we choose our words, we choose our thoughts. We get what we give. In Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. The jaza, the reward of good, is nothing but good. So you will not get anything else back. And everybody does what works, remember. So it's really important to understand that we are accountable for ourselves. Recognize the power of forgiveness is the fourth one. Anger and resentment are like a fire through a dry forest, and they consume our energy, and they literally eat through our heart and our nafs. Take your power back from those who have hurt you. No matter how much you want, you cannot give away what you do not have. Similarly, you can't draw from the pure energy of Tawheed or of belief in Tawheed if the heart is contaminated with the cancer of hatred or anger or resentment. It's the only access point. And from the nafs, keep on repeating, La ilaha illallah, and release yourself from everybody else's bonds and bind yourself to Him. The fifth step is you have to know what you want. Most people don't know how to describe what they want because they don't know. The most you will get is what you ask for. So it's so important to define your definition of success. It's very important. The sixth one is search for a role model. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab says, لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have the most excellent example. And you know, the top 10 elements for a role model is that they should have vision, strategy, passion, truth, be able to take risk, be a nucleus, flexibility, know their priorities, self-management, and possibly the most important one, wanting to reach one's full potential. And finally, the last one is just common sense. You've got to act now. And I mean it, act now. For a dream to become a goal, it has to be defined in terms of operation. In other words, what will be done. Assign a timeline plan. And then look at the strategy. And then just do it. Go for it. That's how we are able to go on this path of Tawheed. Or if I may call it a ladder of Tawheed. So we may get up to the top. Inshallah, we will continue with this subject tomorrow.